Before I delve into today's episode, I must provide a cautionary note. The following story may evoke distress, particularly for those with a fear of flying. I understand that air travel can be a source of anxiety for many, and the narrative we are about to share delves into themes that might exacerbate such concerns. I encourage you to prioritise your well-being and consider skipping this episode if you anticipate it might trigger some discomfort. Remember, your mental health is paramount, and I want your listening experience to be both enjoyable and safe.
Fasten your seatbelt and get ready for the red eye.
Each week, we'll be immersing you in a world of adventure, from thrilling dramas to side-splitting humour and life-altering moments. Welcome aboard the red eye. This week, we are looking at things from a different perspective. After all, crew aren't the only ones on board. The vast majority of people on most planes are the passengers, and from each seat, they get a different view of what's happening. For the passenger who told us this story, he probably wished he hadn't had the one he ended up with. It really had been the trip of a lifetime. A honeymoon of dreams spent seeing parts of Asia that they'd both always dreamed of seeing. But as they arrived at Bangkok Airport that afternoon, all that Shan could think of was getting back to her baby. Alfie might have been 4 years old now, but he would always be her baby, and she couldn't wait to get back and squeeze him, breathe in the smell of him that she'd missed so much. It hadn't mattered how much her parents had assured her that he was happy and having a great time. The whole time they'd been away, she couldn't fully believe that he wasn't missing her deep down. Matt referred to it as mum guilt when she tried to explain it to him, but he didn't really understand. Since feeling guilty about leaving their son behind was something that he was enviably free from. They stood side by side and looked up at the departures board. With their bags already checked in, they had hours before a gate would be announced. "Beer?" Matt grinned down at her. Shan shrugged. "Airside rules," she said. This was the fourth, or was it the fifth airport they'd been in? From their first stop in Singapore to the rugged regional ones around Thailand, in each one they had adhered to their prescribed airside rules of a few local beers before takeoff. It would be hours before Matt would have to drive back in London anyway. An image of a grey London Heathrow appeared in her mind and made her sad for a moment, before she replaced it swiftly with Alfie's face and smiled.
"We are now boarding rows 40 to 50.
Shan almost missed the boarding call, drowned out by the noise of the rather excitable crowd that was waiting in the gate with them. "That's us," she said excitedly, pushing herself up from the hard plastic seat. 46 J and K, said the gate agent, scanning their passports. She smiled and handed them back, waving them through with her hand. The jet bridge echoed as people spoke loudly, and to Shan, it all seemed too chaotic for what was nearly the middle of the night. She hoped they'd all settle down soon, so that she could get some sleep and be fresh for home. On board, she looked left longingly, sighing as she always did at the business class cabin that they weren't flying in. Matt caught her and took her hand. "One day," he said, as he always did, squeezing it as he led her past the stairwell and turned right into the economy cabin. "This is okay," he said cheerfully when they got to their seats. Shan nodded. Yes, it was close to the front and seemed perfectly okay, in fact. Perhaps having taken that tiny aircraft from Koh Samui had been the wake-up call she had needed to stop yearning for that first-class seat. Realised that this wasn't so bad after all. "Which seat do you want?" "You take the window," Shan smiled, knowing that the engineer in him loved to watch the big engines do their thing, and that if he was leaning against the window, well, then she could lean against him. The cabin was dark, and Matt peered out of the window, watching the lights of the taxiway pass underneath him. The whole of the 747's wings stretched out just behind him, and he couldn't help but think how he must have the best view of anyone on board at that very moment. He smiled, watching every movement as they turned onto the runway, lining up and reaching the part that he had loved ever since his first flight as a child. The pilots applied power, and the runway lights flashed past faster and faster as they sped towards takeoff. The sound came first. It was like a claw hammer being dragged across an industrial-sized chalkboard, and it sent a cold shiver right through Matt's body. He felt Sian lift her head from his shoulder, just as a vibration seemed to pass through the entire aircraft. Matt put his hand on the fuselage to make sure that he wasn't imagining it, just as his window blind shook down from its casing. He pushed it back up, glancing across the cabin to where he could see others doing the same thing with theirs. Matt thought, just as the plane lifted from the runway. That was weird. The plane carried on climbing quickly upwards, and Matt relaxed back into his seat, waiting for that moment when the landing gear retracts and that feeling that the plane is truly flying. The explosion was so loud that Matt was sure his heart stopped for a moment. A bright orange flash sliced across the dark cabin, lighting everything up with its candle-like glow. Matt felt Sian's hand grip his knee, and he covered it with his. The plane banked hard to the left. A few people cried out, but most, like them, sat in silent disbelief for what seemed like an age while it righted itself. The orange glow dimmed.
"Is this really happening?"
He heard the girl behind, her voice a heavy drawl that suggested she'd been woken from a drug-induced sleep.
"Am I awake?"
she asked over and over. Reluctantly, Matt looked out of the window. He could see immediately that the furthest engine was well and truly on fire, flames pouring out of it like molten lava up and over the wing. Burning shards of something fell out of the back, leaving a trail behind that must have resembled a meteorite from below. They were still low in the sky, and down below he could make out the fishing trawlers lit up in the inky black ocean. He could just about make out the shapes of the fishermen on board moving around, and he wondered if they had noticed yet what was happening just above them. For a second, he imagined them coming to save them in their boats if the plane ditched right next to them, and then he shook his head to get rid of the image. "Matt," Sian squeezed his arm. He took one last look before turning around, reassuring himself that the engine cowling was still intact, and it seemed that the main fire was subsiding, along with his initial rush of adrenaline. "It's okay, love," he said with a small smile. "They've got three more engines." Sian wasn't comforted by the chief flight attendant's apparent calmness. Perhaps it was the way he had undone the top button of his shirt and taken off his tie that made her think he was way more hot under the collar, so to say, than he was letting on. She watched over the top of the seat in front as he made an announcement, telling them not to worry, that everything would be fine. Well, that was all well and good, she thought, and Matt seemed to agree with him. But Matt was always calm. He never panicked about anything. No, she would really like to hear it from the captain himself, if she were honest, from the person who really knew what the heck was happening. She concentrated hard on her breathing, taking in long, deep breaths, wishing that Matt would just close the goddamn window so that she could just sit here and pretend that all of the engines were running perfectly okay. And as for the dumb girl behind her who had tried to knock herself out with sleeping tablets, if she asked one more time whether this was really happening, well, then she couldn't be held responsible for her actions.
"Ladies and gentlemen,"
the captain's Australian accent cut through the heavy atmosphere in the cabin.
"If I could just have your attention. Firstly, my apologies for only just addressing you. I'm sure you can imagine that we've been quite busy up here, given the situation."
He paused.
"So, we do seem to have had an episode of extreme heat and vibration in our number 4 engine."
Sian raised her eyebrows and shot a look at Matt. Extreme heat and vibration, she thought. Was that aviation speak for a raging fire and massive explosion?
"You'll be pleased to hear that the engine systems have done their job of controlling that, and that we have 3 others that are working completely fine. Unfortunately, though, and I'm sure this won't come as a surprise, we will need to return back to Bangkok,"
he said. And Sian's heart sank. Another day away from Alfie.
"But,"
he continued,
"before we can do that, we need to follow procedures for jettisoning or dumping shore so that we're light enough to land. This might take half an hour or so, and then we'll be heading back. I do appreciate this might be quite a shock to most of you, so please, if it is something you'd like to do, do feel free to use your phones to call loved ones if you need to. We'll just ask you to switch them off again just before landing. In the meantime, I know that my crew will be looking after you and trying to alleviate your fears. Please do listen to their instructions and try to remain calm. I'll be back in touch soon.
Sean was sure he had just said it to be nice, but the fact that he had just told them to call their loved ones had sent a lump the size of a cricket ball to her throat. Her eyes stung as she called her parents' number. Mum, she said when she heard her mother's voice, hearing the tremble in her own voice as she spoke. Mum, don't panic, but... Sean bit the skin on her lip as she tried to think of the words. Her mum put her on speaker so that her dad could hear her too. Next to her, Matt sat silently, just watching out of the window. Sean repeated to them what the captain had said, holding back on what they had actually seen and heard, on how terrified she actually felt. It will all be fine, her dad said firmly. Do you hear me? Sean nodded. She didn't want them to know that she was crying, but she knew that they probably did. Sean, are you there? Yes, she said, sucking in a breath. She forced a smile and wiped her face. Yes, Dad. Call us back as soon as you land, he said. I'll hand you back over to your mother. I love you. I love you too, Dad. She could just picture him now, taking off to the garage to plant some tomatoes or something. Anything to keep himself busy until she could call and say they had landed safely. She knew that he worried deep down, but he was never one to show it. Sean, her mother said with a forced brightness. Do you want to talk to Alfie? Matt could feel Sean's body shaking as she sobbed into his shoulder. He had chosen not to make that call to his parents for exactly this reason. What was the point in worrying them or adding more stress and upset to this already bad situation? He had his arm around her as he stared out of the window, not taking his eye off the engine. He knew they had three more to keep them flying, but every time he noticed another small, burning chunk fly out of the back of the stricken engine, he also knew that it would only take one piece damaging the fuel tank for the situation to become infinitely worse. Or what if the damaged wing snapped off at the point where he could see the scorch marks scored into the surface? What then? Every second seemed to take a minute, and every minute was an hour as they circled, still low over the ocean.
Cabin crew, take your seats.
He heard the click of the seatbelt on the jump seat a few rows up. He knew that he was gripping the seat arm hard, his body petrified while his head felt somehow calm. The descent was quick, and soon the runway lights of an hour ago came up to meet them. As they hit the tarmac, they whizzed past all of the fire trucks and ambulances that waited with their lights flashing, waiting for them, just in case. He watched the wing as the different flaps raised and lowered, watched the engine that had fallen dark and silent now. They glided, almost undetectably onto the tarmac, and came softly to a halt. To anyone who couldn't see what Matt could see, only the overpowering smell of engine fuel would have reminded them that they had just been in an emergency. There was silence in the cabin, just for a moment. All 309 passengers and crew holding their breath. Until nothing happened, and a collective sigh of relief rose from the seats. What happened next was a curious series of events. Firstly, while understandably desperate to get off, the passengers were held on the aircraft for some 20 minutes or more. Alarmed by the smell of fuel in the cabin, some of the passengers demanded to be let off, but to no avail. While we presume here that all danger had passed and that the emergency services had deemed this okay, to the untrained passengers, it's understandable that they were concerned and just wanted to get off as quickly as possible. To our donor's surprise, when they eventually disembarked, they found at the bottom of the steps, in the middle of the runway, a security screening area had been erected. So, before they got on the bus that was waiting to take the bewildered passengers back to the terminal, they each lined up to have themselves and their baggage scanned. The passengers speculated amongst themselves as to whether they had suspected a bomb, or sabotage perhaps. But if anyone actually knows why this could be, please feel free to message in. We'd love to know why they might actually do this. Matt looked back as they boarded the bus. The plane sat forlornly behind them, and he looked along at the four huge engines. The fans that filled three of them, notably missing from the cowling of the one at the end, outside of his window. In its place, nothing. Just a dark, empty hole. "If they don't decommission that plane, they will definitely have to decommission that seat," he said to Sian, trying to find some humour that had been missing during the entire situation. She rolled her eyes. The buses drove slowly back to the terminal building and dropped them at the door. Matt and Sian followed the rest of their group, walking closely behind someone in the airline's uniform. The airport was still busy, and it felt surreal that no one they passed knew what had just happened to them. The people sat in the bar having drinks, the parents and children, the backpackers all patiently waiting for their flights, oblivious to what had just happened to them. They followed the agent to the baggage hall where they waited patiently for their bags, and then out to the front of the terminal where they were ushered onto another bus and taken to a nearby hotel. Exhausted, the pair fell into bed. Matt grunted, picking up the phone and slamming it back down again. The clock said 7 a.m. and they hadn't even got here till 3, so no one could possibly need them yet. It rang again. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Thomas. Sorry to disturb you, but we need you in the lobby for 8 o'clock if you wish to fly back to London today.
Matt pushed up on his elbow.
Okay, thank you, he said,
hanging up and turning over to wake Sian. Their bags still sat by the door where they had left them, only their toothbrushes unpacked. Back in the airport, they followed the agent sleepily and rechecked their bags. Gate 20, said the lady, giving them their boarding cards. Sian held his hand as they went the same way they had done the night before, through security and into the departure lounge.
Airside rules? He tipped his head at the bar as they passed it.
Airside rules, Sian smiled back. Sat with two large Bloody Marys to quell their nerves, the pair watched, along with a few others from their flight, as the BBC World News played on the TV screen in the bar. Flight QF1 was forced to return to Bangkok Airport last night due to minor vibrations in the wing, said the newsreader. Matt shook his head in disbelief. He looked around at the other people from the flight who all wore the same confused look on their faces. Minor vibrations. What about the raging fire and the fact that the whole engine had practically disintegrated in front of his own eyes? In a world where the media so loved to elaborate, it seemed that their story was being very much underplayed. "Surely there'll be an investigation?" Sian asked. Matt nodded. He was sure that what had really happened would come out soon enough. On the plane, they nodded in silent acknowledgement at the people who they knew, faces they recognised as they took their seats. Dotted amongst them were people who had the luxury of ignorance, they hadn't seen what they had. When the final door closed, the flight attendant walked along and checked their seatbelts. He had his shirt done up and tie on, obviously and reassuringly free of worry. When he had passed, Matt took a deep breath, leaned back in his seat and closed the window blind. This was one takeoff he didn't care to watch. Things could have been very different for Matt and Sian, and we would like here to take a moment to acknowledge the poor people who haven't been so lucky in so many other incidents. In Matt's own words, their son wouldn't have remembered them now had the unthinkable happened, and to us, that really hit home. A full investigation was launched, and the reason for the incident was attributed to human error during the engine's most recent service. If you'd like to read more about it, we've linked the subsequent news articles in the show notes. The Red Eye podcast is produced and narrated by me, Ali Murphy. These stories are based on true events,
but certain details, characters, and timelines have been altered to protect the innocent. Visit our website, theredeyepod.com, to subscribe to our newsletter and to find out details on how you can contribute your story for us to turn into an episode. If you enjoyed listening to our stories, please like, subscribe, and review. Thank you.